Well, good afternoon and hello, all those around the world, if you're listening. Especially, of course, the little ones who may tune in because they need some instruction, or they're seeking for some guidance of some kind. It's July 29th, 2023, 16:19 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green with you here again today. Carl Jung said, "Where love rules, there is no will to power. And where power predominates, love is lacking. The one is the shadow of the other." Lao Tzu, the Chinese philosopher, said, "The wise man is one who knows what he does not know." Mark Twain, "Anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything on which it is poured." And our song for today is from 1980, from the movie Fame, and it's a song by the same name, which is namely Fame, a one-word name for the song. It's not written by Irene Cara, but she performs it, and it reached 7 number one places on charts around the world in the years 1980 through 1983. One of which was in the U.S., but not in Canada because it's more of a dance song. So it made the number one on the chart in the U.S. called Dance Club Songs, which is one of the Billboard charts in the U.S. And in the U.K. it was number one, and there were 7 altogether number ones around the world in 1980 through 83, those years. It must have stayed on the charts a long time then, through those four years, inclusive 1980 through 83. This is Irene Cara singing Fame.
Baby, look at me.
that video that we just saw was, I'm quite sure, taken from the television series that came out of the movie, and which I and many of the people, my brothers and sisters, that is, in my family, I think maybe not all of us, but there were four of us, and several of us watched, I believe, that TV series every week. It was quite, and I believe it ran. Dust allergy, I think. I believe it ran for quite a while. Maybe it was in reruns and so on, but that was a very popular television series. And they used the theme song in the TV series, but it was probably a shortened version of the theme song, as we saw from the lyrics that were left out there. But it was a TV series by the same name, called Fame. As with many civic dates now in our born and raised article, chapter 3, paragraph 4, nothing certain may be known about the date when Tiberius assumed royal power along with Augustus. This is one of those particular dates we know nothing certain about, but Luke possibly knew more than we do. Of course, Luke was living at the time. The apostle would not have known at the time how dates would be recorded or be transmitted to us in our days. So he may have done the best he could, but was unable to convey what he needed to convey to us to send us the correct understanding in our day. So without placing undue emphasis on the 15th year of Tiberius as recorded by Luke, we nonetheless follow up on the research to note that Fasti Prenestini, a well-known inscription, lists for October 23rd of 12 CE the triumphal chariot ride of Tiberius, which can be interpreted as shortly before or after the rite of his appointment to imperial power from Paterculus. We have this quote from Paterculus: after he had broken the force of the enemy by his expeditions on sea and land, had completed his difficult task in Gaul, and had settled by restraint rather than by punishment the dissensions that had broken out among the Viennenses, at the request of his father that he should have in all the provinces and armies a power equal to his own, the Senate and Roman people so decreed. For indeed it was incongruous that the provinces which were being defended by him should not be under his jurisdiction, and that he who was foremost in bearing aid should not be considered an equal in the honor to be won. On his return to the city, he celebrated the triumph over the Pannonians and the Dalmatians, long since due him, but postponed by reason of a succession of wars. I got distracted. The Pannonians and Dalmatians. He celebrated the triumph over the Pannonians and Dalmatians, long since due him, but postponed by reason of a succession of wars. Once I make a tiny mistake, and then I can't forget that mistake. I'm thinking about the mistake, and then I get distracted, and I make a mistake in the reading. Another mistake, in other words. But the first mistake might be very minor, such as leaving out the word, or including a word that shouldn't be there, such as the word "the." And then I get distracted, and when I'm not giving my full attention, I make another mistake and read the word incorrectly, postponed. So they postponed this appointment, possibly, just like they postponed the triumph celebration with respect to the Pannonians and Dalmatians and his victory over those people. So Tiberius received some honors when he received to this, when he arrived back, when he returned, is the word I'm looking for. When he returned to the city of Rome, he received the opportunity to celebrate some victories, which celebration had been postponed. And so the idea, okay, even if Tiberius received his appointment to the royal office in early 13 CE, we know that the Jewish secular year is fall to fall and begins about October anyway. So the first year of Tiberius might have begun in 12 CE, according to how Luke would account it. So we have 12 CE or 13 CE. Probably we can see how it could be 12, because he may have been appointed to office in 12 CE. Since he was returning in October 23rd of 12 CE, in part A of this paragraph 4. So he returned to Rome and triumphantly rode in on the chariot. And so seeing as he was celebrating victories in wars that had been the celebration of which had been postponed in some cases, and he was doing all these celebrations at the same time, it seems that it was very likely that he was appointed to rule conjointly or jointly with his predecessor at that time. The Senate and the Roman people so decreed. It's interesting. It was his father, actually. And that's all the more reason to believe that his father would have wanted his son to rule together with him. But this idea that it was either shortly before or after is from Paterculus, but also from Suetonius. Suetonius, in footnote number 1, the life of Tiberius, that's where this idea comes from, that it was shortly before or after this chariot ride of celebration that he was appointed as co-ruler, emperor, Roman emperor was the title, along with his father Augustus. So that's it. We have some good reason for believing that year one of Tiberius would have been accounted as 12 CE. By Luke. By the way, my health is still lacking, but I think it's inflammation now, which is one thing that the endodontists did mention. It's inflammation. It's not infection. And the inflammation, I'm thinking the inflammation can cause the x-ray to look different. So, and the inflammation can account for all the problems. So the inflammation is because the tooth, I just started chewing on 3-6 recently, and that's why this has happened. I wasn't chewing on it before, but now that I'm chewing on it more, I believe the inflammation can cause the occlusal surface to rise, and that can increase the contact, and I think it has done that, and I think even though it's not painful to chew, it's inflamed the root of the tooth, and that's why we need to lower the occlusal surface so that it's not making contact with the tooth above it. And that might just fix everything, because I'm going to try not chewing now and see if it'll calm down a bit. It's calmed down a little bit already, I think, because I'm not chewing on it now. And that means I can't chew on either side, because 3-6 is too high now. So even when I'm chewing on the opposite side of my face, by the way, this is a mirror image. So 3-6, it's on the left side of my face. It's on the left side. But it's the lower left back tooth right now, 3-6. But because the other side is, because this 3-6 is so high, making contact so readily, then even if I'm chewing on the other side, it's going to cause more contact with 3-6, which I don't want. So I can't chew any food. I have to just go liquid for a while, liquid food. Now, our proverb for today, little children, is from Proverbs 17:28. Even anyone foolish when keeping silent will be regarded as wise. Anyone closing up his own lips as having understanding. Right. But why do we do that? You know what we didn't do? Okay, we didn't do our... I know we're out of order. We want to do our other thing. Or did we do them first? Yeah, we did them. Okay, we did them all. Great. We did them all. Okay. I forgot that we did those. So we're still in perfect order. Not that it really matters. For our reading from Numbers for today. We're not going to have to read all this because it's very repetitive. But, and in the seventh month, on the first of the month, you should hold a holy convention. No sort of laborious work must you do. It should prove to be a day of the trumpet blast for you. This is the seventh month on the first of the month. It's the first day of the month of Tishri in the Jewish calendar, and you must, which is the beginning of their secular year. And you must render up as a burnt offering for a restful odor to Jehovah one young bull, one ram, 7 male lambs, each a year old, sound ones, and the grain offering of fine flour moistened with oil, 3/10 measures for the bull, 2/10 measures for the ram, and 1/10 measure for each male lamb of the 7 male lambs, and 1 male kid of the goats as a sin offering to make atonement for you. Aside from the monthly burnt offering and its grain offering and the constant burnt offering and its grain offering, together with their drink offerings, according to the regular procedure for them as a restful odor, an offering made by fire to Jehovah. So every month they would make an offering on the first of the month also. And every day they'd make an offering, too, actually, in the morning and the evening. So they would make regular constant offerings, monthly offerings, and they had one at the beginning of the seventh month. And on the 10th of this seventh month, you should hold a holy convention, and you must afflict your souls. No sort of work must you do, and you must present as a burnt offering to Jehovah, as a restful odor, one young bull, one ram, 7 male lambs, each a year old. This is the Day of Atonement. They should prove to be sound ones for you. And as their grain offering of fine flour moistened with oil, 3/10 measures for the bull, 2/10 measures for the one ram, 1/10 measure respectively for each male lamb of the 7 male lambs, 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering aside from the sin offering of atonement, and the constant burnt offering and its grain offering together with their drink offerings. The sin offering of atonement was when they had the Azazel, right? I believe that was when that was. If I'm recalling, that seems to come to mind. The offering of atonement on the day of affliction or day of atonement was when they would sometimes have a sin offering depending on whether the lot came out for Jehovah or Azazel. And when it came out for Azazel, the goat would be let free. It would be let go free. And on the 15th day of the seventh month, you should hold a holy convention. This is the one that is the repetitive part. No sort of laborious work must you do, and you must celebrate a festival to Jehovah 7 days. And you must present as a burnt offering, an offering made by fire of a restful odor to Jehovah, 13 young bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, each a year old. They should prove to be sound ones. And you can read the grain offering and sin offering parts. And on the second day, 12 young bulls, 2 rams. Right. There were 13 young bulls on the first day. Now 12 young bulls, 2 rams. So the number of bulls went down by 1. The 2 rams are the same. And the 14 male lambs are the same in number. Right? And their drink offerings, so on. And 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering. And on the third day, on the first day, there was... it was also in verse 16, 1 kid of the goats on the first day as a sin offering. And on the third day, 11 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs. So he keeps... And then on the fourth day, 10 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs. On the fifth day, 9 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs. On the sixth day, 8 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs. On the seventh day, 7 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs. On the eighth day, you should hold a solemn assembly. And you present 1 bull, 1 ram, and 7 male lambs. Only 7 male lambs this time. Only 1 ram and only 1 bull. And 1 goat as a sin offering, verse 38. And these you will render up to Jehovah at your seasonal festivals, besides your vow offerings and your voluntary offerings, as your burnt offerings and your grain offerings and your drink offerings and your communion sacrifices. And Moses proceeded to talk to the sons of Israel according to everything that Jehovah had commanded Moses. That's the end of Numbers 29, although there are a lot more details that we have omitted for the sake of brevity and so to conserve my energy as well. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul continues, "Am I not free?" Writing to the Corinthians, "Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, I most certainly am to you, for you are the seal confirming my apostleship in relation to the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is as follows. We have authority to eat and drink, do we not? We have authority to lead about a sister as a wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas, do we not? Or is it only Barnabas and I that do not have authority to refrain from secular work? Who is it that ever serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Or who shepherds a flock and does not eat some of the milk of the flock? Am I speaking these things by human standards? Or does not the law also say these things? For in the law of Moses, it is written, you must not muzzle a bull when it is thrashing out the grain. That's from Deuteronomy 25 and 4, a part we have not come to yet in our study. Is it bulls God is caring for? Or is it altogether for our sakes? He says it. Really, for our sakes, it was written. Because the man who plows ought to plow in hope, and the man who thrashes ought to do so in hope of being a partaker. If we have sown spiritual things to you, is it something great if we shall reap things for the flesh from you? If other men partake of this authority over you, do we not much more so? Nevertheless, we have not made use of this authority, but we are bearing all things in order that we might not offer any hindrance to the good news about the Christ. Do you not know that the men performing sacred duties eat the things of the temple, and those constantly attending at the altar have a portion for themselves with the altar? In this way, too, the Lord ordained for those proclaiming the good news to live by means of the good news. But I have not made use of a single one of these provisions. Indeed, I have not written these things that it should become so in my case. For it would be finer for me to die than no man is going to make my reason for boasting void. If now I am declaring the good news, it is no reason for me to boast, for necessity is laid upon me. Really, woe is me if I did not declare the good news. If I perform this willingly, I have a reward. But if I do it against my will, All the same, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. What then is my reward? That while declaring the good news, I may furnish the good news without cost, to the end that I may not abuse my authority in the good news. It's an interesting idea of a reward. For though I am free from all persons, he goes on, I have made myself the slave to all that I may gain the most persons. And so to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain Jews. To those under law I became as under law, though I myself am not under law, that I might gain those under law. To those without law I became as without law, although I am not without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might gain those without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I have become all things to people of all sorts, that I might, by all means, save some. But I do all things for the sake of the good news, that I may become a sharer of it with others. A sharer of it with others. So that's Paul's reward, that he gets to share the good news. And that he also keeps himself free from obligation to anyone who might have wanted to contribute money or to those who may have wished to pay so that Paul wouldn't have to do secular work. Do you not know that the runners in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may attain it. Moreover, every man taking part in a contest exercises self-control in all things. Now they, of course, do it that they may get a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. Therefore, the way I'm running is not uncertainly. The way I'm directing my blows is so as not to be striking the air, but I pummel my body and lead it as a slave, that after I have preached to others, I myself should not become disapproved somehow. The end, that is, of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You notice the illustration about the running a race in verse 24. Paul makes it sound like we're running a race, but we know from the Bible in other places where it talks about how we should not stir up competition with one another. That's probably also from another letter of Paul, I believe it is. We don't stir up competition, so we're not really treating it like a race where we're not competing with our fellow Christians. It's not that sort of a race. If we had been running in a worldly type race where we were competing with other competitors, that is how we would want to run. And that's the way we should run in the Christian race also, but we're not competing with one another. That's the difference. So it's not a competition. It's a race, right? And it's a contest, but it's not a competition. Very important difference there. So that's the end of our study for today. Little ones, I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoy your day beyond and whatever time you have left in your day beyond this. And I've shut off the power to my uninterruptible supply. It's much quieter now in this room. I can still barely hear some hard drive somewhere or the computer possibly. No, it's not the computer. It's quiet. Yeah, maybe I'll find that noise soon and eliminate that as well. If my refrigerator comes on, we'll hear that noise. But it's much quieter now. We can get a much better idea, how good the MC740N microphone is, I think, without the background noise. And also, we can tell how good it is from listening to how accurately it records the music from the speakers of the M1 MacBook Pro. It's the Pro Max version, actually, but that may not matter to the audio, but we're using the audio from the M1 MacBook Pro, and we're recording it through the Beyer MC740N multi-pattern studio condenser mic set on Omni, so we can pick up sound from all directions with Omni, which just makes it easier. We don't have to point the microphone at my face, or, you know, there's no need. And then if it were a directional mic, it wouldn't be able to pick up my voice as well as the speakers on the other side of the microphone. So it's the Omni position is the best. I tried the figure eight pattern and it didn't work at all. It was no use. So the figure eight pattern will pick up sound from both sides of the mic, but it wasn't pointed evidently in the correct direction to pick it up. So, or perhaps it's not working properly. I don't know the reason. I'm not really interested in that because I always use the Omni mic when I'm recording. At least I have been. I've always done that. And it's done a fantastic, excellent job of recording vocals in the studio. So, and it also, as we're learning, I think we're learning that it does a great job with the recording of the music from the laptop speakers. I mean, I could play my Bose speakers and record that sound also on these. But our study's done for today. I mean, we should try that maybe with the Bose. But the mix doesn't always sound as good on the Bose. That's why I haven't been using it. But some of these songs are mixed properly for all the speakers. So it's July 29th, 2023. It's 16:52 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. And on my behalf, this is Sissy and Ellie saying bye for now.